Welcome to the Outdoor Biz Podcast, your home for inspiring conversations with outdoor insiders. Each week, author, speaker, adventurer, and outdoor industry veteran Rick Saez talks in-depth with iconic brand founders, sales and marketing pros, product designers, and industry rising stars. Listen in when Rick's guests offer actionable advice to land your ideal industry gig and grow your outdoor career. Catch us again when the conversation shifts to the hottest outdoor products, destinations, and the latest industry insights. And now, here's Rick.
Welcome to episode 303 of the Outdoor Biz Podcast with four-wheel camper ambassador and professional rock climber, Jonathan Segrist. Long before he started rock climbing, Jonathan had a passion for the mountains. He says, "Nothing can humble, invigorate, and inspire me like the experience of interacting with the grand mountains of the world." Although his dad encouraged him to explore climbing for years, it wasn't until age 18 that he fell in love with rock climbing. Hey, Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Rick, hello. Thank you, man. Happy to be here.
Yeah, good to talk with you. We're pretty close. Too bad we couldn't have met somewhere in the middle and done this. That would have been kind of fun, eh? You're over in Vegas.
I know.
I'm in Bishop.
I know. Yeah. Short 3.5-4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know how it goes. It's everybody's busy and we got a lot going on. So I always like to start off with, how were you introduced to the outdoors?
Well, so I was born in Madison, Wisconsin, and I traveled quite a bit with my family as a young kid, but my parents were both really interested in the outdoors, either be it boating in Wisconsin or some rock climbing at Devil's Lake. So we went outside quite a bit when I was a kid. And then when I was in middle school, we moved to Boulder, Colorado. My dad had a job opportunity there. And at that point, you know, I mean, in Boulder, as I'm sure you know, it's impossible not to be interested in the outdoors,
right,
it feels
right.
like. So, right. So yeah, I got really involved in mountain biking when I was younger. And then after I graduated from high school, I got really motivated to start climbing, which was around age 18 for me.
So Boulder was where you picked up climbing then, huh?
Yes.
Did you stick with...
picked up climbing in Boulder.
Yeah. Do you still do any boating at all? What kind of boat? Did you guys just do canoes on the Great Lakes there in Wisconsin? Or what kind of boating?
Oh, man. I can't really say that I was ever interested personally. That was just kind of a family thing, you
know? Gotcha.
No, I haven't done... I've done, you know, a little bit just here and there. I love, like, sea kayaking and stuff like that. You know, if I'm in an awesome spot where renting a kayak is an option, I'll go out. But no, I couldn't. It would be a lie to call myself any kind of boater.
Gotcha. Well, and I think, too, once... You know, like you're a professional climber now. So once you pick up one of these sports and do it professionally, it pretty much takes over your whole life, right? I mean, you don't have a lot of time for other things.
Yes, that is true, which is kind of one of the least cool things about it, to be honest, you know, because I am really passionate about mountain biking. Well, I used to be really into running in the mountains and sometimes just going on hikes or whatever, or for that matter, even just like, you know, easy whatever climbing.
Right.
But, personally, I'm quite ambitious and it's hard for me to stray too far away from, you know, focusing on goals and pushing myself as much as I can. So it tends to kind of push away a lot of those other activities, peripheral activities.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess you said your dad encouraged you to explore rock climbing, but you didn't act on that until you were 18. Was it the lack of opportunity in Wisconsin, but in Boulder, it was kind of in your face. You had to do it, right?
Yeah, it was a little bit of that, but also, you know, I'm 36, so we're talking 20 years ago, 25 years ago when I was like a kid, and this the landscape for climbing was different. The type of climbing my dad did is mostly track climbing, really slow, you know, the leader does not fall kind of stuff. I mean, it was interesting, but being a kid, I kind of wanted to like go fast and jump off things, and I think that learning was really just emerging as its own pursuit, you know, and climbing wasn't so dynamic or so like rad as it is now. And there weren't gyms everywhere. There weren't youth teams everywhere. So it was just a different landscape. I think that if I grew up now, I'd probably be way more interested at a younger age, but back then mountain biking was interesting to me. Skating was interesting to me. So, climbing had to wait until I think I had enough patience more than anything else.
Gotcha. Right. Yeah. That's pretty accurate too. It's just changed. All these sports have changed. You know, these climbing and mountain biking and things, they were kind of like fringe sports back then. But now, boy, they've exploded on the scene. It's great. Great to see some of these things in the Olympics too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I have mixed feelings about climbing in the Olympics, to be honest.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, I absolutely agree in just that, you know, I love more people being outside, you know, finding a love and enjoyment for the natural world. And also, I mean, you know, there are plenty of ways to waste time as a human being. And I think, at least in my opinion, being outside doing any activity is not one of them. So I'm happy to see people getting more and more interested in these sports.
100% on that one. Yeah, exactly. Don't sit around watching the tube. Get outside. I agree with you. And
yeah, exactly.
So I also read you're recovering from an injury. How's that going?
Good, man. Yeah, thanks for asking. During COVID last year, or the height of COVID, I should say, I crashed on my mountain bike and I separated my AC joint pretty badly on my left shoulder. So, I had a couple months there where I had to be low key, but, honestly, now I forget which side of my body it was even on. Like, nothing residual at all. In fact, ironically, I actually think my left shoulder is stronger now because I spent so much time and energy rehabbing the left side. And now, you know, I often notice that my right side is the one that holds me back. So I don't know. It's hilarious how that stuff ends up, you know?
Funny how that works out. Well, you put so much time and attention in that left shoulder probably. So that's what happens.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So tell our listeners how you became a professional rock climber. What was the inspiration for that? GoPro.
Well, you know, it was never, as though I was like, you know, oh, climbing is my passion and that's what I want to do for a career.
Hmm.
It really evolved slowly and organically. I was going to college in Boulder. I went to a college called Naropa University, a private school there.
Yeah, I know that's great. Yeah.
Yeah, incredible place, and I loved my time there. And, you know, I was climbing more or less recreationally, but I discovered that I was pretty good at it. I'm not going to say that I was some kind of savant, but I was pretty good at it. And on top of that, you know, I really enjoyed it, and I fell addicted to it, like so many people have. And, you know, it all started with a friend of a friend had like a shoe sponsor and they kind of got me in the back door.
Mm.
So for, you know, it truly evolved from, you know, I had sponsors where I was getting a couple free things a year to then I had like, you know, a little bit of a travel budget. And then eventually after some time, you know, I was able to sign on with companies and get actual retainers and, you know, started paying the bills with climbing money. And it was like, it couldn't have happened more gradually. Like I said, I mean, it was literally like, you know, one year I'd make like a couple $1,000s and the next year I could like, now I can quit my part-time job, but I have to live in the truck, you know? And then the next year it was like, oh, I can actually afford to rent an apartment and not live in my truck, you know? So, I never necessarily saw that as an opportunity. I think that it just every year, it got a little bit better and a little bit better until, gratefully, very much so, very gratefully, I'm at the point now where it's my total income. So
that's awesome. And probably since it grew organically like that, it probably kept you more focused on it as opposed to pressure to make money or pressure to perform for a sponsor or something. Don't you think?
Yes, I think so. And I think mainly the other thing that it really did for me was that I learned to live at a certain standard, you know. I mean, for a long time,
right.
I lived in my pickup truck and I lived on probably $10,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
For quite a while. Mm-hmm. And despite making more and more money, I mean, I'm not making a ton of money by any means, but making more than that,
mm-hmm.
I've been able to keep my, you know, I've been able to live well below my means. And that's given me the opportunity to save a lot of money and make some smart moves with my money and stuff,
right,
which is kind of like, you know, for a professional athlete, you know, especially in an industry like climbing where you barely make that much, I'm in a really good position now to where hopefully, you know, if I can keep things up for another 5 years or so, I should at least have something going on for myself other than just the climbing thing, you know, because I have to assume that, you know, I'm not going to get another 2 decades out of this.
You never know, though. You know, I mean, it's the world is changing.
Possible.
You never know.
Yeah, I know. Totally. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And so in 2011, you said you became a full-time nomad also, you know, on the road or living out of the truck. What was the catalyst for that?
Like I said, it was just a situation where I had a part-time job working at a climbing gym. I was making enough money from sponsors to kind of like, you know, between the part-time job and the sponsors, pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I realized that like, hey, if I move into my truck, I could live on like $8,000 a year. And not only that, but also, there's so many areas and so much awesome stuff to do in this country that that is the best way for me to be free and mobile to go and climb and experience all these different areas. And so yeah, from more or less from 2011 until, 2018, I lived in my truck and, you know, would occasionally crash in my parents' house or at a friend's house. But, yeah, for the most part, I was living out of my truck that whole time.
Very cool. Did you travel all around the U.S.?
Yeah, I traveled the U.S. a ton.
Yeah.
And yeah, visited a lot of the best climbing areas and
that's
and
great.
Spent lots of great nights outside. And yeah, it was absolutely incredible, time in my life and I'm really grateful for it.
Oh, bad. Are you a photographer? Do you take photos?
I take some photos. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I, you know, I guess, you know,
so you captured some pics on your trips. Yeah. Yeah. We all are these days, right?
Yeah. I know. Everyone is these days. That's what I mean to say. I couldn't claim myself as a proper photographer. But I do actually really enjoy taking photos.
But so you got some pics of your trips though, and your places you climbed and all that stuff.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah,
no,
cool.
I always
yeah.
try and get photos and that's always helpful for my sponsors too.
Right. Right.
And just, it's fun. It's a fun thing you do on a rest day. And it's a fun way to, you know, another kind of goal or task or activity to have, you know, in between climbing. So
mm-hmm. it's fun to do. You can do all the editing on rainy days.
Exactly.
That's cool. Yeah.
Exactly. And
how did you get involved with Four Wheel Campers?
Yeah. So, that I had been living out of a truck, just like a truck just with a normal cap, like nothing fancy at all, you know, camp cooking and really like living outside of the truck. The only thing you do in the truck is sleep.
Yep.
And it was quite interesting because a couple of years ago I went to an area called Rifle Mountain Park, which is in Colorado. It's like super famous rock climbing, mm-hmm. sport climbing area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there with my girlfriend and we were kind of doing it, you know, just like living in the back of the truck. Like we always were camping outside or cooking outside in the rain and all this. And everyone, you know, it used to be that even having a truck was like a luxury, you know, cause you'd be in a tent.
Right.
But here I am in Rifle and every single person in Rifle is in a van, you know, or it's some kind of sweet setup and mostly vans, to be honest.
Hmm.
And you know, I kind of said, you know, I've got a little bit of money now. Like, I think it's time to like properly upgrade my situation, you know, like it would be nice to sit inside. It'd be nice to have a refrigerator.
Yeah.
You know, I've been dealing with swapping over ice and coolers for too long.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean, Four Wheel Campers, I've known of them forever because it's kind of like the gold standard for badass.
Can't believe how many people here in Bishop have them. Yeah. A lot.
Oh yeah. So I reached out to them and I said, look, man, you know, I'm deeply involved in the industry. I'm living out of my truck. You know, if I'm not in Europe, I'm pretty much in my truck traveling around.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to, you know, get together and figure something out and work out some kind of partnership. And they were awesome. They were,
cool.
they really started to push into the rock climbing market. So the timing couldn't have been any better. I was ambitious to help them out and they were psyched to have a partnership with me too. So, the timing couldn't have been any better. And honestly, I got the camper last September. So now I've had it for a year and I bet I've spent like no joke 6 or 7 months in it of the last year. So,
wow.
I've put a lot of wear and tear on it in the best way. I love that thing.
They're bomber. I was over at the factory a couple of weeks ago. My brother lives in Folsom and my dad's over there. So I went over there for a visit and talked to Dan and he was around. So I poked my head in there. Man, it's amazing. I mean, it was full of campers. It was pretty impressive just from the size, but their quality and workmanship is beautiful.
No, it's impressive, man. And that was kind of like the first step for me was to go to Sacramento, go to the factory, properly see everything being done, you know, watch them forklift the camper into my truck, you know,
Yeah,
it was, it was really cool. It was really cool. And then I've done it now a couple trips with the four wheel camper squad and everybody's rad and there's a lot of passion there and you know, it's one of those things that's so easy to dork out on. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a climber or a fisherman or a mountain biker, or you're just like a guy or a girl who wants to go hiking or sightseeing or whatever.
Right.
Everyone can like dork out on, you know, how nice it is to have a shower or like, oh, what color seats or, you know, whatever. So it's a fun community to be a part of for sure.
We're going to take a little break and give some love to our sponsor, Four Wheel Campers. Somewhere in a cold and soggy camp spot, someone wearing a wet poncho is cursing while setting up a tent and trying to light a camp stove to make some soup. Across the way, pro climber Jonathan Segrist arrives, and in less than 2 minutes, he is settled in his comfy four-wheel camper's pop-up truck camper. Jonathan fires up his furnace, cracks a beer, and savors his hot pasta. Anticipating a restful night's sleep, Jonathan knows that he'll be fresh for tomorrow's climb. For 50 years, Four Wheel Campers has been providing adventurers a reliable and cozy place to store their gear and hang out anywhere in the world. Speaking of gear, if you stand up paddle, surf, or kayak, they install Yakima roof racks or custom side racks on their pop-up campers too. And here's a quick note from Dan Welty, Four Wheel Campers Vice President.
Give us a shout and we can talk trucks, campers, and adventures. And please check us out on fourwheelcampers.com and visit a showroom in your area.
Now back to the show. So what are the three things you like most about Four Wheel Camper? I don't know the feature sets that they come with, but Dan walked me through a few things and man, it's impressive.
Yeah, mine is tricked out. We got, got a really nice one that I'm really proud of. And for sure, the three favorite things, I mean, you know, one is quite simple and that is just the refrigerator, you know, like I've got a refrigerator, I've got a freezer. It's simple, but like, you know, so much of the time that I was living out of my truck, I was intentionally choosing vegetables, you know, that were hearty so that they wouldn't go bad, you know?
And
you know, like the thought of having like blueberries, for instance, was that's a very foreign thought. I was never thinking like about that or about having, you know, the other thing that's quite nice is like when you're done climbing to guaranteed have a cold beer waiting for you, you know, stuff like that. So, for sure the fridge, I got hot water on mine, which like it's kind of expensive option. So I wasn't totally sure about it, but my girlfriend and I both agree that it's like absolute must because there's an outside shower, which I use every night. And the hot water tank is plenty big enough. Like I've done trips where, you know, I've spent 4 or 5 days out, and been taking showers every day and had like no issues with it.
Wow, that's cool.
Awesome. And then I think the third one is again a pretty simple one, but just being able to stand up, you know, like like I spent a lot of time in my truck, and you know, when the weather's bad, I might go up in the front of the truck to do some work or to hang out or whatever. But you know, having the ability to stand up and to stretch, and you know, I mean, I think the inside of mine is like 6'4". So
that's big. Yeah.
I mean, I'm only 5'6", so it's like plenty of space for me. I can literally like do yoga in there and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? So,
you do pull-ups and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, in that regard, man, those three things are like honestly life-changing. I can't even tell you the level of comfort that comes along with it.
Yeah, and I've seen some of those, the group trips that they go on, too. Those look pretty fun. It looks like a really fun group. What are those experiences like? There must be a bunch of other climbers and outdoor folks along. I mean, fly fishermen or whatnot.
Oh, man, it's so fun. Yeah, we did one with a good buddy of mine who's an excellent photographer. mostly a skateboard photographer, actually, but he's crossed over into the outdoor space as well. His name is Matt.
You have to get him on the show. Have him come on the podcast.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can connect you guys. He's
awesome.
That'd
be great. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, he and I and a number of other photographers and a couple other people from the four-wheel camper, like, family, we did a trip last summer up to Tahoe and did some climbing and took photos and did some paddle boarding. And it's awesome, dude. It's so fun just with everybody. Like, yeah. You know, it's a really cool feeling, I think, just to be in your truck. You know, you have all that you need for 4 or 5 days. You know that, you know, you can go off-road if you need to. You know, you can just fully, like, wherever the wind takes you, quite literally, right, you're going to be comfortable, which is like, yeah, it's a feeling of freedom that, like, you know, having a tent or just like the normal truck setup or whatever absolutely does not afford you.
Yeah, you just nailed it with the living inside, because, you know, when you're in a truck or like a Subaru and you have an ice chest, you got the ice and the water from the melted ice, and, you know, your stuff goes bad, or the, like you say, cold beer. That's, you nailed it. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty dang nice.
Yeah, how bad. Good. And I'm envious of you being on the road all the time too. It's always been my dream. That's my dream. So I'm a little older now, but I'm still trying to pull it off at some point.
Hey, man, I've seen plenty of people out on the road that are retired or on their way or whatever. Yeah. You know, I think it's just
age is just a number. It's just a number.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly.
It means nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So let's shift gears a little bit again. What other outdoor activities do you participate in besides climbing? Let's say you mountain bike a little bit, obviously.
Yeah, I mountain biking, I would say, is the one that I'm the most passionate about, other than climbing. And I absolutely love it. And I used to live in Colorado. Now I live in Las Vegas. And when I lived in Colorado, or when I kind of parked my truck in Colorado, I did quite a bit of riding there, and I miss riding in Colorado. I like the riding here in Las Vegas, but,
what's it like in the summer? Soil, is it hot? Too hot?
It's hot, but, you know, we have some mountains, some even up to 10, 12,000 feet that are nearby that, offer quite a bit of reprieve. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. And other than that, you know, I used to ski quite a bit, but I don't do as much of that anymore.
You fish?
And I don't fish. No. Mm-hmm. I think the closest thing to being active in any other realm is just like kind of going on hikes, you know, and walking up mountains and just being outside. But yeah, for the most part, it's rock climbing and then occasionally some mountain biking.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, those are good activities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, where are you headed next? What's your next adventure out of Vegas?
So, I leave for Italy in 3 weeks.
Cool.
I am celebrating the ability to travel internationally again. I did like since COVID, I was doing a ton of time in the truck and around the US and I just got back from France. I was there for about a month and now I leave for Italy and I'll be there for 5 weeks or so.
Cool.
After that, I'll be back around Las Vegas and a little bit in Colorado. And then I'm going to do some climbing in Texas, early next year. And that's kind of as far as I got things planned out. So
good. Well, that sounds like a good, fall and early winter. That'll be great. Italy's a great place.
It's great.
Love Italy.
Staying busy. Staying busy for sure.
Yeah. You. Do you have any suggestions or advice for folks wanting to get into rock climbing or become a pro athlete like you are?
Whew. Well, two different questions, probably. I would say that for people that just want to get into rock climbing, you know, there's so many. I think there's 450 climbing gyms in the country now.
Plenty of places to learn.
So that's a really good place to learn and to meet people and to get proficient. But, you know, there's also a lot of people out there that live in places like Madison, Wisconsin. You know, you've got Devil's Lake really close by, and that's an awesome place to learn if there's like an outdoor club or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, of course, like a place like Salt Lake City or Bend, Oregon or Boulder, there's tons of climbing nearby.
Right.
But I think, you know, depending on the type of climbing you want to get into, no matter what, you need friends that are into it as well. So I do think that the best place to meet friends and meet people is at the climbing gym. And then, and then take it from there. You know, if you choose to go outside and check some stuff out, that's a really great way to start, I think. Mm-hmm.
That's good advice. Yeah. Climbing gyms are a good place to learn too.
It is. Yeah. It's a super good place to learn. It's pretty safe. I think the key component of enjoying climbing and doing trips and getting improving as well is just to meet a good group of people that's mm-hmm. motivated like you are.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. How about becoming a pro? What do you think about advice on becoming a pro?
Man, well,
it's probably a pretty big commitment and dedication, right?
Yeah, I think it is. But, you know, I also think that the industry is changing quite a bit. I think that, you know, when I first started climbing, the only way to be a professional climber was to be, you know, one of the best in the country or in the world.
Yeah.
And now I think that it's a little different because, you know, ultimately being a professional climber is about inspiring people and helping brands create marketing material. And then, you know, for myself and for some people who have spent a little bit more time in the industry, it's also for research and development, you know, helping those brands create products and make those products, you know, last and perform the way that you'd want them to. Mm. But in that way, you know, I think that there are ways to be, you know, a professional and tell stories that are interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to be of cutting edge ability. And, like one great example, for instance, would be like, let's say you live in your four wheel camper and you travel all over the US and you're not one of the best climbers in the world, but you go to a lot of places that people are interested in. And that's a great story. And that's, mm-hmm. and that's something that companies I think could align themselves with. So I do think that there's more ways now to be a professional. I mean, to be an athletic professional, I think that, you know, it's like anything else. It's just grinding and being patient, you know? Yeah. Putting in the work.
You got to put in that work.
Being patient.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's a good perspective. You're right. Because I think when I first got into the outdoor industry, there weren't that many ways to be a pro. You were, you know, a sponsored athlete and a badass climber and you were a pro, but now you just nailed it. There's a bunch of ways for you to go make a living at climbing or skiing or fishing than there were back then. So that's good advice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think what it all comes down to is that there are a lot of stories to tell and the story of being a bone crusher, really, really strong rock climber. I mean, that's an interesting story. That's one that I'm interested in. And a lot of people are interested in that, but as well, you know, there are stories about, I mean, I even think an interesting story is, you know, this is me and I'm a new climber and here's my perspective of being a new climber. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, another story would be I'm a seasoned climber and I've been everywhere. I'm, you know, I might not be the strongest, but you know, I can relate to the history and the, you know, the, all the context of all these different places that I've been to. So,
right. Well, that's a good perspective. Yeah. Do you have any other daily routines you use to keep your sanity?
Oh man, I think the thing that keeps my sanity more than anything are my dogs.
Nice. What kind of dogs?
We've got two dogs. I've got one that's a Beagle Border Collie mix, and one that's like she's like a little Kelpie basically. So they both kind of look quite similar. They both look like herding, you know, dogs. Uh-huh. But yeah, man, they're the best. I mean, taking them on walks and keeping them happy and they definitely keep me sane. I think they provide a laugh every single day, no matter what my mood.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dogs can be goofy sometimes.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite books or books you give as gifts?
I really like Tommy Caldwell's book, which is called The Push. He's a friend of mine and someone that I've looked up to for my whole life. It's just really interesting what experiences he's been through that have molded him into like the incredible athlete and person that he is.
Yeah.
And then my favorite book of all time is Ishmael, which is, it's often like college reading, but, I think it's a really interesting perspective environmentally on the role of human beings on Earth and the effect that human beings can have on Earth and you know
That's a good one. Animals and
culture.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's awesome. I love it. I like go back to it quite a bit. So
yeah,
those are probably my faves.
How about your favorite outdoor gear purchase under $100?
Ooh, man. I would say, you know what I got like last year that I really enjoyed is I actually have it right here. Maybe I can find it. But I want to say it's MSR makes it. I think it's like $45 and it's this like super tiny water purifier and it's like a hand pump.
Okay.
It's like a hand pump. So you just have like a little hose and you dump it in a stream and then it's just a little hand pump. So it all packs up into your bag really small.
Okay.
But I love it because like a lot of the climbing areas I go to, there's a stream close to the cliff or, you know, sometimes even at the cliff or whatever. And it's sweet to, you know, if I'm normally carrying 2 liters of water and all of a sudden I'm not, and I'm just carrying this tiny thing and I can fill up like crystal clear, cold mountain water whenever, you know, really easily.
Yeah.
It's great. So yeah, that's been one of my favorite things, you know, to be totally honest, I don't buy a whole lot these days, because my brands take care of me pretty well, but that one I paid for and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Well, we'll look that up and link to it in the show notes. That's a good one.
yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. As we wrap up, is there anything else you want to ask or say of our listeners?
No, not at all, man. Just appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and yeah, I'd love to grab a coffee or something next time I'm in the Eastern Sierra.
Yeah, definitely. When you come over to Bishop, look me up. That'd be great. Yeah. Yeah,
for sure. No, I love climbing up there and hitting the hot springs up there and stuff. So
yep.
I will definitely look you up if I'm in the area.
Lots of fun stuff to do. And where can people find you if they want to follow up? Are you on, obviously, Instagram somewhere, I'm sure?
Yeah. Instagram is definitely the best. I used to maintain a blog, but you know, people's patience ran thin, so it seemed like it was better to just post a photo. But yeah, I don't really do Facebook at all anymore or Twitter, so Instagram is the way, and it's just my name. It's just Jonathan Segrist. And yeah, I post on there a bunch, so that's the best way to keep up.
Cool. Well, we'll link to that in the show notes too. Well, thanks, Jonathan. Awesome. It's been good chatting with you. I look forward to seeing you over here in the Eastern Sierra sometime.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the opportunity.
Take it easy.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Outdoor Biz Podcast. Be sure to visit our website, theoutdoorbizpodcast.com, where you'll find show notes with links to everything we talked about and more. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you'll never miss an episode. And while you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Or spread the word and tell a friend about the show. That would really help us out too. Be sure to tune in every week. And thanks again for listening to the Outdoor Biz Podcast with Rick Saez.